your careful and your prayerful attention for Brother Don McIndoo.
Thank you, Dwayne. Good morning to you each. I greet you in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Laura, for the beautiful special, and I thank Debbie for doing all the work of kind of rewriting some of the words for that to make it appropriate for our worship, our fellowship this day. I think it's a wonderful thing that our nation, and I know there are other nations as well, I don't know if all nations do, have a special day of remembrance for our mothers. I know they do in Mexico. As I think about it, I'd like to read a psalm of David, Psalm 128. It's only six verses long. I'm going to read it in its entirety. David writes, "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall a man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel." I find that a graphic presentation of the life of a true believer, a true follower of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, and it applied to the Jewish people as well. I think it identifies those who have been and shall be blessed of the Lord because of their belief in the Lord Jesus Christ and in our Heavenly Father. It portrays aspects of their life that are obviously important to God. And by corollary, they should be important to us. I really have no trouble delineating several elements in this portrayal of a blessed life of God-fearing people. Honest, productive labor. That's a portion, a part of it. Our world has changed greatly. Our nation has changed greatly. I know the people of my generation, almost all mothers were at home with their children, and their fathers were able to sustain and support the family. I know in many respects that's almost impossible today for a young family starting out life. Many find that the wife has to work when possible. I know that in our world and in our society today, there are many single mothers that have to work. But productive labor is a portion of that blessed life. Whether we have to work and would rather not, makes no difference. Productive labor, a happy family. This portrays a happy, unified, united family. It portrays a sheltering, a comforting home. When I think of a happy family and a home that provides shelter and comfort for every member of that family, just like the song that Laura sang, it centers around a good mother, a loving mother, especially that sheltering and comforting part. I don't know why it is, It's kind of sad in a way, you know, that women seem to have quite a monopoly on some aspects of life that are really important, and they just fly right over the top of most men's heads. Things like awareness. My little boy could walk home from school, and when he was a half a block away, his mother would say, "Oh, he had a hard time today. Something happened." Gee, how do you know that, you know? I don't know. It's some wonderful aspect of a woman's nature and a mother's ability to be there to provide and recognize the need for providing comfort, shelter, help, strength. A lot of women can just tell by the inflection of your voice that there's a problem, or there's a burden, or there's a question. And we guys, you know, we just say, pass the ball, you know, and we're oblivious to a lot of those things. And so when I think of this description of David, of that blessed life, you know, I think in a lot of senses, it revolves around a Christian, a loving mother. And finally, you know, It portrays a secure and a blessed national life. And I think that's been the strength of America through the years. I fear I see that strength fading and dimming. And it's something we should all be aware of and be thinking about. You know, it causes me great joy to be able to stand here and look out upon a congregation that can say we are working toward this end. A congregation of people who I believe are enjoying these blessings that David is delineating here. One of the books that I was reading mentioned that Mother's Day is also associated with the festival of the Christian home. How appropriate. I believe it's the insights of mother as her children are growing, the influence of mother that has made our nation a strong Christian nation. And of course, you know, as we say that, we see changes that are taking place in our society all the time. So David, he starts right out, you know, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord and walketh in his ways. When Nephi was admonishing his older brothers, he reminded them of two points of the law under which they lived that would help them have a happy and a prosperous life in this new land to which they were going. You know, I don't find it strange at all that out of all the aspects of the law that God had given to Moses and to his people, Nephi pointed out two of them. And over in chapter 5 of 1 Nephi, he said, worship the Lord thy God and honor thy father and mother. And this is a day we spend, you know, and it shouldn't be a day. This is one of those days that we should spend in honoring our mother. And so that's like a lot of words that I encounter all the time. What does it mean? What does that entail to honor? Well, Nephi said, your father and mother. Today I'm going to say, what does that mean to honor your mother? Sometimes just looking in a dictionary for the definition of a word isn't sufficient. Doesn't really give us everything that we need to know about it. I looked in Strong's Concordance. I looked in Vine's. I looked in the dictionary. I looked in Roget's Thesaurus. And I've come up with five aspects that I feel relate to giving honor to our mothers. Well, you know, I'm glad Tony and Brian spent a whole lot of time working to prepare a nice meal for our mothers here today. That's a wonderful aspect. But I'd like to take five specific words that I found being equated with honoring, giving honor to our mother. First of all, to honor is to obey. Now, I'm not just talking to the children here when I say to honor your mother is to be obedient, to obey her. And not after a whole flurry of argument and discussion and negative aspects. No, to honor her is to be obedient, to obey her. When Nephi was talking to his brothers about their need to be obedient to father and mother, In the same chapter, a few verses along, it tells why. I'm going to read what it said in verse 205. It said, "And Jacob and Joseph, also being young, were grieved because of the affliction of their mother." The affliction of their mother. What was the affliction of that their mother was suffering? It was the disobedience and the harsh words and the anger of her oldest sons. That hurt mother, and when mother hurts, her little children hurt as well. I don't know as I've seen anything more difficult for a child to deal with than to see his mother crying, hurt. And so Jacob and Joseph were hurt. And Nephi is telling his brothers, you need to honor your mother. You need to be obedient to your mother. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul wrote in Colossians, he said, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to God. So not only will it be giving honor and help and blessing to your mother, but it is well-pleasing to God. I think that when I think of being obedient, it kind of, there's a connotation in being submissive before her. When a child is submissive to his father, sometimes there might be a little element of greater physical strength that's involved there, you know, and a little bit of fearfulness of the repercussions of anger. But when a child is submissive to his mother, without argument, without discussion, it really connotes giving honor to her, a love for her, submission. There's a passage that I really like in Luke. I've always enjoyed in the ending of the second chapter of St. Luke, the words that we find there. And Jesus was not just a little child at this time. He was a 12-year-old. And you remember the story about how when his folks got out at the first day of journey, they looked around and their son wasn't with them. And they were worried, and they were certainly filled with fear that her son may be left behind in that huge city full of sin and violence of Jerusalem. And they hurried back. Well, we remember the story, but what I like is the last two verses in chapter 2. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. Subject. That doesn't mean like a town in the medieval areas was subject to the king. They were in esclavitude to the king. No, it means that they were submissive before with a full heart. That was subject unto them, and his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. So ended the childhood narrative of Jesus Christ. You know, it's a question that hundreds of people have thought about. Oh, if I could have known more about the childhood, the youth of Jesus Christ. There have been books written about it. Most of them out of the mind and imagination of man. Some of them even claiming to be gospels, but not of the Lord. But you know, there was a book written about the childhood and the youth of Jesus. And in it, it is elaborated every success that he had, every achievement he made, every pain he suffered, every sorrow. And that book, written in the mind of his mother. I see books all over the room. I see your books. I see minds of mothers, grandmothers that have recorded here every incident of their little boy and their little girl's lives as they grew on to maturity. And they're recorded there. I sometimes think of all the thoughts that must have gone through Mary's mind as she stood that last day of his life, his temporal life, and watched him on the cross. The book was certainly open and active. Another aspect of giving honor to our mothers would be, this is a word that it occurs over and over again, to esteem her. To give her value, that we esteem our mothers. King Solomon wrote these words in the sixth chapter of Proverbs. My son, forsake not the law of thy father and thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. It is of value to keep them in your heart and in your mind. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. And so, young people, young adults, we've got to remember that just because our life has changed and we have matured and we're no longer children, mother is still mother. And she's still thinking about your life, and she'll still take time now and then to give a word of instruction, a word of reproof, as Solomon said, instruction in your life. Things that will make it rich and abundant and beautiful. Make it fit that description that David gave, that short description of a blessed life. Another way of giving honor to our mothers, and I think perhaps this is the way that is most commonly expressed, and especially like on a Mother's Day, people are thinking about it. I noticed in the newspaper today there were articles by all kinds of all of them were by women about their mothers, you know. And the idea being, that the role is changing a little bit as mothers get older. But mothers are always mothers, you know. And so here's one more way of honoring, and that is to speak highly of her. Thomas Edison. We all know him, a famous inventor in our past. He said, "I did not have my mother long, but she cast over me an influence that has lasted all my life." Can we identify with that? I think I'm looking at a group of people that can identify with that sentiment of Edison. She has cast over me in those early years. She has cast over me an influence that has lasted all my life. I think that is true. I don't know exactly how to word this so that it would it actually be a truism, but barring extenuating factors, I think that's true of all men and women. Their mother has exerted an influence over them that lasts all their lives. And I say barring some extenuating factors, like many Muslims have a different habit, a different lifestyle. Their little boys stay there with mother under her nurture and care and her love, her sympathy, her kindness, until they're 6 years old. And they're taken out of her presence. And now they must associate with the men. And they're taught to have negative feelings about their mothers and their women. Now, that's a sad situation, and it might explain a whole lot of things that we see in the Muslim world today that we find difficult to cope with. But, you know, it's kind of sad maybe to think of, like Edison, making a beautiful statement like that, but after mother has passed on. It's kind of sad, you know, that we wait until mother or father or a loved one, whoever that may be, has passed on before we really meditate seriously about things we can speak positively and highly about them. And so let's just read a little short example of some young men who didn't wait until mother had passed on. As soon as I said that, every one of you smiled. You know exactly where we're going to look. We're going to look in Alma chapter 26. We read these words here. And they're words of their leader, of their general, thinking about 2,000 young men over whom he was in command. And he said, "Now they had never fought, yet they did not fear death, and they did think more upon the liberty of their fathers than they did upon their lives. Yea, and they had been taught by their mothers that if they did not doubt, that God would deliver them. And they rehearsed unto me the words of their mothers, saying, 'We do not doubt, our mothers knew.'" There is a speaking highly of their mother while she is yet alive. And it had an impact. It had an impact upon their general. I think it had an impact upon our lives as well. I hope it has an impact upon the life of every young mother, to realize the importance of the things their children learn at her knee. We want all our children to grow up and be Christians, believing Christians, active believing Christians. And yet, you know, it isn't going to be the Sunday school teacher that makes them such, nor the pastor, nor the ministry. That desire is going to be developed and bred within them as they move about the knees and upon the lap of their mother as they are comforted, as they are sick, as they have needs, as they have a great problem or a burden to bear. And Mother shows them and helps them understand what is the source of all their blessing. What is the source of the help that they need? As they are taught to pray, they learn that at an early age. Before really they can intelligently speak about these things, they have already learned. And that's why Edison could say, her life, the few years I was with her, have had a lasting impression upon me. And maybe we can't even identify all those things, but young mothers, young women that will be mothers, how important that influence, it cannot be exaggerated. In the Talmud, it asks a question and gives an answer. Who is he that is best taught? He that has been taught by his mother has been best taught. And it stays with them forever. Now, not only should we speak highly of our mothers, the hardest part is yet to come. We should speak kindly to them. We speak highly of them. We should speak kindly to them. This is one of the ways of giving honor to our mothers. I can't think of a better example, and sadly, you know, this wasn't even a woman speaking to her mother, but speaking to the person that she deemed as her mother, though she was her mother-in-law. And of course, I'm thinking about the things that Ruth said as a young woman, left alone by the death of her husband. And her mother-in-law, Naomi, was a good and a thoughtful, righteous person. And she was concerned about Ruth's sister-in-law. She was concerned about their happiness and their well-being. And upon the death of their husbands, Ruth was going to return to her homeland. And she told her daughters-in-law, you should return to your homes. Return to your families. Return to the religion that you grew up in. And Ruth responded to Naomi and said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whether thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Wherefore, where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught, but death part thee from me. Kindly words. Certainly they must have made a great swelling impression in the heart and the life of Naomi, this young woman, Ruth, who spoke so kindly to her mother-in-law, went on to become the grandmother of King David. Certainly lived a blessed life as well. A fifth and a final aspect that I'd like to cover today. It's kind of hard for an old man to stand up here and say this, you know. But I'm going to do it anyway because I think it's an important aspect of giving honor to our mothers. And I'm going to turn to 1 Timothy as a basis for this in chapter 5. And I'm going to start reading with verse 1 and read through verse 4. 1 Timothy chapter 5. The Apostle Paul is speaking to young ministers, and he's talking to them about their responsibilities and their duties. He's talking to them about the necessity sometime of a minister to reprove a congregation or members of a congregation, the people for whom they have responsibility, to give them instruction, to give them a little rebuke. But he goes on now, and he says in verse 1, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father. Yes, this elder may need some correction, may need some changes in his life. But you don't rebuke him, you entreat him as a father. And the younger men as brethren. And the elder women as mothers. The younger as sisters with all purity. Honor widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before the Lord. Here's the word. This is the other aspect of honoring our mother, to requite our mother. Well, that doesn't sound like a word that we use very often, you know. And it isn't, but it has a meaning. It has a meaning of, the meaning is to repay our mother, to pay back all the love and the devotion and the interest and the concern and the prayers that she has offered for you. You're now ready to pay them back. This is a responsibility. And obviously, as we read things here in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, and here also, let me read verse 16 in this same chapter. If any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. In other words, in that time, the church did help take care of elderly women. But if that woman had children, it was the child's responsibility to care for their mother, to lend assistance, whatever it might be. Jesus is addressing that same issue over in Matthew chapter 15. In St. Matthew chapter 15, Jesus is addressing this same issue that the Apostle Paul was talking about as he's talking with and rebuking the scribes and the Pharisees. Chapter 15, I'm going to read verses 3 through 6. But he answered, well, let me start with the first verse. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, why do you also transgress the commandments of God by your traditions? What is Jesus saying here? They knew. But we need to kind of read between the lines to understand. The commandment of God, thou shalt honor thy father and thy mother. But it had been changed by the traditions. Among the Jewish people, there was this long-standing tradition over the centuries that when Moses received the law, and the commandments of the law, he handed them down to Joshua. And Joshua handed them down to the judges. And the judges handed them on down to the prophets. Down and down and down until finally they were written in the Talmud. But when they were written in the Talmud, they were changed completely. They were added to. They made life more comfortable for the Jewish people. And in the Talmud, a Jewish person could dedicate his land, his home, his money to God. And then he could say, I'm sorry, mother. I can't help you. I've dedicated all my money to the Lord. And that's what Jesus was talking about. How is it that you are able to, what did he say? Transgress the commandment. Honor thy mother and thy father. And believe in and accept and live by your traditions. I'm saying it's a gift. I've given it. I've given it to God. I can't help you. And so the Lord is challenging that. And he himself, in his last hours of this temporal life, he himself was concerned about giving assistance and help to his mother. I just read a few verses in John chapter 19. I'm going to read verses 25 through 27. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother. Kind of hard to imagine, you know. A man undergoing the agony he was undergoing at the moment. Nailed to the cross. Becoming weak, unable to breathe. Having difficulty. But he saith unto his mother. Then saith, woman, behold thy son. He wasn't speaking of himself. Behold thy son. And he was pointing out his close friend. And he said unto the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. And he cared for her. And he gave her all the things that were needed in her life. It's hard for me to imagine Mary standing there at the foot of that cross with that whole mind filled with all of those wonderful and marvelous experiences that she had had before we ever read about the ministry of Jesus. You know, he began that ministry when he came back to Nazareth. We've often read how he opened the books and he read the prophecy of Isaiah. And then within a day or so, he was invited to a wedding. And his mother was there. And his mother said, you know, they don't have any wine here at the wedding. Mother, it's not my time to reveal myself yet. She didn't say anything more, but she said to all the servants, do everything he tells you. How could she say that? Because she had had experiences that are not identified here in the Holy Scripture. As he was growing up, as he attained his manhood, as he was beginning his preparation for his ministry, she knew who he was. Every aspect of his life was written there in her mind. As real as the day it happened. She could see it clearly. Every aspect of his life. Well, this is the day. No, this is the life. This is the time for us to honor our mothers. If they're living, by being obedient to them, submissive, by speaking kindly, by esteeming them highly, recognizing the worth of their life, of their counsel, of their advice, of their sacrifices in your own life, by speaking kindly to them, and preparing ourselves, you know, to be of assistance to them and care for them when they need that care. May we all give honor to our mothers. Thank you.